What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sans vesan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by friends here at Link Humans, fine purveyors of data-driven employer branding. This week, we're heading up in the clouds and we're talking to a tech company about their employer brand strategy and, of course, how this has changed since COVID. So we're touching on subjects like culture, engagement, remote working, interviewing, talent pipelining, and hiring process. So let's start the show. Hey, Emily, how's it going?
Good, good, Jorgen. Thank you for having me on today. I'm really pleased to be here.
Pleasure. So please let our listeners know who you are, where you work, and what brings you on the podcast today.
My name is Emily Van Norden, and I am the Director of Talent Brand Marketing and the Diversity Lead for a cybersecurity company called CrowdStrike. And I am here today to talk to you about the many different facets of employer branding.
Great. Okay, so that's a big job title. But first of all, what is CrowdStrike?
So CrowdStrike is a cybersecurity company. We were actually, I believe, the first cybersecurity company to be 100% cloud native, meaning we started in the cloud and developed from there. You know, ended up being pretty clutch and visionary as the world moves and shifts to more cloud-based ways of working. A lot of companies had to, you know, retrofit their product or the ways that they were doing things to be more conducive for work in the cloud. And we were built that way. So I think it's really allowed us to exceed in the cybersecurity space. So we do endpoint protection, which that means, you know, your computers and destinations on your servers, as well as breach mitigation. And what a breach means for those that, you know, aren't in the industry and don't understand the jargon, it's when you're hacked, right? When somebody shouldn't be in your system, gets in your system, your security is compromised, your data, you know, is either held for ransomware or, you know, being stolen, your IP is being stolen in some way. So we have a product that protects organizations from that, as well as a services division that will help organizations mitigate the damage if it's already happened, probably because they don't already have our product.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So when I Googled CrowdStrike, it was pretty jargony what I read. Very, I guess, if you're not really in the know in that space, it's I found it difficult to get a grip on exactly what the company does. Now, I wonder if that also translates into the employer brand. Do you have to educate candidates sometimes on what you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point. And, you know, one thing that I should point out is I'm the first ever person to hold this role at CrowdStrike. They did not have an employer brand function or a talent brand person here previously. And, you know, one of the reasons that they created this role was that they were having exactly that problem, right? So the marketing function at the organization was really focused on growing the company. So when I joined, it was pre-IPO. They were hyper growth startup and they were really ramping up their hiring efforts. And most of the messaging out in the world was B2B targeted, right? So you're targeting security professionals that really understand the space and understand all of those words, but you're looking for talent that may not be that savvy or up to speed on that. And, you know, you obviously want talent for certain roles that have a cybersecurity background, but given that we're cloud native and that, you know, they say big data, but it's really biggest data or massive scale, you know, data at scale. So similar to bigger than Twitter and, you know, Uber and all these people that are processing tons of data. So you're really going after talent that are at the really big companies like Facebook, like Google, Uber, Twitter, and they don't know about cybersecurity at all. And I think they were really struggling to tell a more accessible story to show a value proposition there, which is why they decided to create this role.
Got it. Talk to us about your employer brand strategy.
My employer brand strategy here, and you know, it's really has to be bespoke to the organization that you're working at the time and where they're at and what they're trying to achieve. But I always start with storytelling, right? Because that's the thing that's going to connect your value proposition, your EVP, your culture to the audience that you're trying to reach. So creating stories through a variety of mediums that really tell the story of your people and your culture and your values and the opportunity that, you know, a person can have at your organization. So really focusing on telling the world what it is that you do best as a company and in your culture, and then finding the best ways to connect that with your target audience. And some of those ways can be, you know, through content, which is a fairly standard way of getting stories out across web and social media, through video, getting maybe thought leadership going from a talent brand or an employer brand perspective, if that hasn't been a lens that you've been developing thought leadership through previously, and even an award strategy, because there's a lot of workplace awards that can help you elevate your profile and get recognition if you're fortunate enough, you know, to be doing well in a particular area to be recognized. And then really also not losing sight of the internal, you know, needs for employer brands. So really focusing on your people's experience and the messaging that you're getting out, which really a lot of times includes a lot of cross-functional work with the hiring teams and the HR teams to make sure that we're not just focused on process, but that we're focused on experience and communications, which you may not necessarily own as an employer brand person, but definitely can influence and collaborate to make sure that those aren't being ignored or falling off the plate.
Yeah, got it. Great. And so you've been in the role for about a year, I believe. That is the strategy for normal times. Now, of course, we're in a pandemic COVID situation. What has changed since the virus struck us?
CrowdStrike was in a unique position when this happened because people need cybersecurity now more than ever, because there are a lot of, you know, hackers and what, you know, in cybersecurity we call bad actors, which is a very, you know, nefarious sounding thing, but that are trying to use fear and panic and misinformation to exploit that, right? To hack and to phish and to perpetrate things on people. And so our business is still strong. We're still hiring people. Our hiring numbers haven't dipped really that much at all. They've stayed pretty steady. And right now we're projecting that they will stay steady throughout the year, you know, although none of us know what's going to happen. And key for us is that we're 70% remote staff. So we're a remote first organization. We were already working that way. And so we really didn't have an interruption in our work when this happened. But the entire job market is going through something that's incredibly, you know, stressful. It's unprecedented. None of us really know, you know, when this is going to end, how this is going to end, when it does, you know, when it or how the economy and the job market will recover. So I think that, you know, making sure that your message is sensitive to that consideration, even if your company personally isn't going through that, is really important. I.e., some companies are doing better than others. And so your content really should not be gloating or saying, hey, you know, we're still hiring and we're doing great, come over here. It should really be mindful of the kind of global shared experience that we're going through right now. Values-based communication is really important right now. Talking about what you're doing for your people, you know, how you're helping the community, because it's one thing to take care of your own, but I think people are really looking to companies to take a leadership role in, you know, helping communities right now. And a lot of companies are doing fundraising efforts and, you know, shifting their manufacturing from what their core business is to helping frontline healthcare workers. So people are really looking at companies right now and really kind of watching how they're responding to this. And that's going to say more about your values as a company, I think, than any kind of, you know, video or copy or web content that you can put out there. And then for companies that are fortunate enough to still be hiring, this is a unique opportunity to get at maybe an elevated level of talent that normally might not have considered your organization because you don't have a highly known brand. But maybe they're feeling insecure in their industry or they're feeling insecure at their company. So those doors might be open to you where they wouldn't have been before. And then if you aren't hiring, which I think, you know, a lot of companies are facing that right now and making decisions based on that. And if you're an employer brand marketer or in talent acquisition, I think you want to get your story out there more than ever. You want to make sure that you're remaining connected to people, that you're keeping the storytelling active in some way, because you've got to be pipelining right now if you're not hiring, right? Because we all know that talent acquisition is not super nimble. And if you turn off hiring and then something great happens and you're able to ignite that again, it's not a hose that you can just turn on and have an immediate kind of effect. And so you're going to want to make sure that you're nurturing that talent and keeping those relationships going and that connection going through storytelling, even if you can't hire them right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And how are you managing culture internally and engagement during this COVID times?
Yeah, you know, I think the first and foremost, we're focused on total well-being of our people right now, because yeah. I think, you know, some conversations that you don't normally see happening in the workplace are happening more or being brought more to the forefront with things like mental health, right? Like that may have been something that I don't know if people were fully comfortable talking about before, or you wouldn't maybe necessarily want to lead internal communications or cultural communications with questions or comments about, you know, is everybody taking care of themselves? How is everybody's mental health doing? We did an internal comm to remind people, hey, we have, you know, an EAP program that offers a variety of support services to people. We have employee resource groups if you want to connect with folks sharing similar life experiences in the company, leveraging virtual tools like Slack and Zoom. We've, you know, this is a phenomenon. It's not unique to our company, but all of these like Zoom social activities, happy hours. We have a fitness community within the company called Falcon Fit, because our product is called the Falcon Platform. And, you know, they've been connecting and doing fitness challenges and cooking challenges and sharing those experiences via Slack. And a couple weeks ago, we did a week-long social media campaign that just highlighted some of those activities. So that's one way, is just really making sure your people are okay and that they're feeling like they have the resources that they need and that they can still feel connected and not really so much isolated in a time like this. And then again, values, right? Like really making sure that you're galvanizing around your values, which right now I think, you know, as we just talked about, includes giving back and helping and really coming together during this globally shared experience and working together to get through it together.
Yeah, absolutely. And how is remote work and interviewing, how has that impacted your talent pipeline and the hiring process at the moment?
Again, unique. We've always been remote, so we were well situated going into this. We had Zoom interviews prior to this and some were in person. And now, of course, for health and safety reasons, they're 100% virtual. The thing that's slightly different is the onboarding piece, right? Because that is something that, you know, is really doesn't feel the same, right? Like if you're used to interviewing virtually, usually when you onboard at a company, you know, there's some element of an in-person onboarding process. And again, because we were remote, we had a process where we ship equipment to people. We have virtual, you know, onboarding sessions with IT where they help people set up, you know, their equipment and things like that. So that didn't really change for us. But some of the curveballs have been more administrative, i.e., you know, if you have a background check process, you know, we've had situations where certain courts are closed down and you can't get access to records. And then you have to kind of get creative and figure out ways that you can get at this information or, you know, to maintain, you know, your background check standards. Sometimes you have to put candidates on hold. And then from a relationship standpoint, how do you keep those candidates warm? How do you keep them feeling good, even though they've been, their onboarding has been delayed or their start date has been delayed? You know, how do you keep them confident that you're not going to rescind an offer or something could go wrong? And so then I think that's when you really have to pivot to communication and to really maintaining those relationships as best you can while people are waiting and maybe getting nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I like to ask my interviewees as well about this very unique function that they perform. What is it that makes it so special? So Emily, what is it that gets you up out of bed in the morning?
And it's a very cliche answer, but it is the employer, you know, branding function. It's the people, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that you can do in marketing or talent acquisition, depending on which side of the house that you come from, you know, a lot of stories that you can tell and, you know, things that you can market. But I think for me, really being able to connect with people at, on a values basis or a cultural basis and understand, you know, what drives them, what motivates them, why they stayed in an organization, you know, it's the feel good stuff for me. It's inspiring. You know, everybody has tough days at work, but if you can have conversations all day that are about what's the best in the company and what's the best in all of us and what we can achieve together and what our vision is for the future. I mean, I'm hard pressed to think of many things that are more inspiring than that. And so I definitely consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to tell those stories and to elevate those stories. And it's very rewarding to see, you know, how that contributes to our culture, how that makes people feel. You know, sometimes people aren't used to being featured on video or on social media, or haven't ever written a byline or a blog post that's going to be featured by a company publicly, and to just be able to bring people through that journey and to elevate their voices and their stories is very cool.
Love it. Great. Okay. So what would be your top tips, perhaps even pitfalls to avoid to our listeners?
For employer branding, I mean, I think first and foremost, my approach throughout my career as a marketer in employer brand has been authenticity, right? So you're going to have a creative brief for your work. You're going to have your EVP. You're going to have your research. You have some ideas of what you think's going on or how you think maybe it would look and feel. But it really has to be true to what the lived experience is within your organization. And I personally have found that the best way to do that is to use your people and to let them tell you their stories unscripted, right? So like if I make a video, I never give a script. I don't let people see the questions in advance of the interview. What I want is for us to have a conversation similarly to how you and I are doing now, get at how people are really feeling, what their real experiences are, and then take quotes and snippets and string together kind of the shared narrative of the culture of the organization. So authenticity and really letting your people tell the story, but also it is your job to frame the story and to make it look and feel and sound consistent and true to what the lived experience is. So you have to find the commonalities or the consistencies across, you know, multiple teams, multiple departments, multiple employees. And what are those themes? What are the things that people are saying over and over and over again? And kind of let those sentiments bubble to the top and, you know, use those as a guidepost to frame your storytelling. And then far as helping you do that well or be great at that, I think, you know, anybody coming into an organization, the first thing you really need to do is network and learn, right? So yeah. I had come from an organization where I had worked there almost 12 years, right? So I was connected to, it felt like everyone and everything. And anytime we needed to do a thing, I knew exactly who to go to or who was the best spokesperson or, you know, what we needed to do. And then to come into an industry that I didn't know anything about, to a company, you know, after having been, you know, elsewhere for so long, you know, it was a steep learning curve for me. And I really had to take time to just build my internal network. And at first, I couldn't do a video or, you know, a media opportunity or, you know, send people to an event without asking, you know, a bunch of people who should be on this list, you know, who should we be talking to, what should we be doing. And one of the best things, you know, a year and a half into this role is I feel like I've got my footing now and I have people that I can reach out to and, you know, folks that can help me get things done across the organization. And so that network as an employer brand professional, I think is really invaluable. And so you really do have to spend that time upfront, again, networking and learning. And I think, you know, when you start a new job, especially, you know I felt a little bit of pressure to show my value right away, you know, like here's what I can bring to the table, especially since the employer brand function was brand new for the company. I felt like there's a little bit of tension between do things and show results fast and do things right and well. But I do think that there's some value in kind of slowing that down and assessing the landscape so you can really center yourself, because I think that'll just set you up to be way more effective in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Okay, great. So thank you so much for that, Emily. Where can our listeners learn more about all the work that you do, and where can they connect with yourself?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, across most platforms, but really, you know, as many people in the employer brand and recruiting space are, most active on LinkedIn. So I'm at LinkedIn, at Emily Van Norden is my profile. And if you're interested in cybersecurity and our products, you can find out more at crowdstrike.com. And if you're interested in employment opportunities specifically, it's crowdstrike.jobs. And we have our careers ecosystem there, and you can learn a lot more about our people and our culture and the opportunities that we have at our company.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, that is it, folks. If you enjoy this episode, first of all, please thank Emily for sharing her wisdom with us today. Second, you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast. You can do so at your convenience at employerbrandingpodcast.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Acast, you name it, we're there. And thirdly, if you really enjoy this episode or the podcast in general, maybe both, then please help us out by leaving a review on one of these platforms. Right, so now, how do you measure employer brand? That's what I like to ask my interviewees in normal times. And we've developed the Employer Brand Index, employerbrandindex.co, as a way to finding out what is being said about your organization in an employment context. So we have a team here of talent analysts that collect all obtainable data points out there. They analyze the patterns and deliver a full report with insights and a clear action plan. And to go with that as well, there is a final score which can be measured over time. So you'll learn what part of your employer brand strategy works, and perhaps more importantly, which one does not work. So the Employer Brand Index is trusted by companies like GE, Unilever, L'Oreal, PepsiCo, Mars. So if you're ready to establish your index baseline, why not ping me at jorgen@linkhumans.com or just go to employerbrandindex.co. All right, that was it for this week. I'm signing off from my home office, hopefully not for too much longer. And thank you for tuning in, and catch you next time. Hey!
What do cows do on Friday nights? They go to the movies.